So yeah, today, yeah, Pastor tasked me to preach on the third part of this series called Work Redeemed. Okay, so first part was Uncle Casey. He talked about fruitfulness, how to become fruitful in your work and also in Christ. Then yes, last week Pastor talked about multiplication, right? Multiplication, how to multiply, you know, how prosperity is given to you, not for you to enjoy short scenery, but it's for you to also multiply, okay, the work of the Lord. And today I'm going to talk about influence. Okay, everyone say influence.
Influence.
Feel, okay, influence with integrity. Okay, the first word that comes in our mind when we talk about influence is influencer. Right, influenza, okay? Influenza, influencer, the viral culture. So it's all related to flu. So how the flu comes about, okay? But anyways, I'd like to just, before I start the message, you know, I'd just like to announce that I was recently legally bound. Legally bound next by this young lady here, Jojo. Okay? So, Legal. Not yet. In the eyes of the government. Not yet in the eyes of the Lord. So that will be sometime next month, alright? So, yeah. So anyhow, right. So, yeah. And of course, you know, all the teens here are supporting me as well. You know, very good. Okay, so let's give them a big hand for the young people. Alright. So, yeah. So today, right, we're going to talk about influence. Influence in a way. How do we want to influence others? Are we talking about influence means TikTok? Instagram, how many followers you have? How many of you here have more than 10 followers in Instagram? You are an influencer. Means you can influence that 10. So, some people have thousands of influence, followers, you know, thousands in the millions and all that. Views, people are looking at views. TikTok videos, how many views? And not discarding the older generation too, Facebook. Okay, don't worry, I'm still in Facebook. I asked some of the young people, do you guys have Facebook? I say, huh, what is Facebook? They don't know what's Facebook anymore. Now it's IG, TikTok, you know, Snapchat, you know, these are all the things that they're using. Right, but of course the older ones, we all got, I go Facebook mainly for world news. And you know, nuggets of wisdom from older people. Then Instagram is where all the brain rot comes in. Oh, brain rot, you know. All the skibidi nonsense, you know. Right, so, yeah. So we live in a culture obsessed with influence, visibility. How you are visible to others in the outside. Those among you, your friends, and those that do not know you as well, you know. And of course, they are obsessed with personal branding. It's all about me, myself and I. What can I tell others about myself today? Oh, I showcased my breakfast today, wonton mee. Got 2 wontons, 10 pork lards, you know, wow. You know, then also want to personal, you want to tell people about everything about yourself. OOTD, outfit of the day. Wow, that's the new things, you know, going on right now, okay? OOTD, okay? Everyone wants followers, everyone wants likes, everyone wants attention. You know, influencer culture often makes influence about fame. How to be famous, you know, but not faithfulness. Anyone ever see anyone about talking about faithfulness? You know, influence faithfulness on Instagram. Very rare, there is. But not as much as all those that, you know, will selling their products, selling their brand and all that, okay? But when God calls us to fill the earth, it's not to promote ourselves, but to spread His image, His truth, His good news, right? So, social media influencer culture, okay? What is the effects today? Okay, everyone go on social media for the validation and reward. They want to have likes because they want people to feel, they want to feel validated by your likes, by your views, the reward. Even now, reward, right? If you have a video that goes beyond how many millions of views, you get monetary incentives as well. They pay you if you're able to have a number of followers. Wow. So then you get free things. People want to sponsor you, you get free stuff. Then social comparison, you want to compare yourself to others. You know, in terms of your wealth, in terms of your whatever, your ability, your skills or whatever. Then third is fear of missing out. FOMO. Oh, FOMO are you? You know, today whoever's not here, FOMO. You know, fear of missing out. If you are here, you have fear of missing out. Church service, very good. Today is a good place to be FOMO, okay? Right. So, negative feedback and cyberbullying as well. Very dangerous. A lot of young people are also facing this, going through mental health because of cyberbullying. People putting mean comments in Instagram. Superficial connections. Okay, you're not able to see the person behind whoever that is commenting or liking your things. Reduce social skills. So it takes the face-to-face out of things, out of the context. Alright? So in a world where everyone wants to be seen in social media, everyone wants to be liked, everybody wants to be followed, everybody wants to share about their life, you know, Jesus calls us to make him seen. So how does that go? Right, so, you know, in a world where everyone wants to be seen, Jesus calls us to make him seen. Okay, so that's the whole gist of what I will be preaching today. So the big idea is that our influence is meant to point people to God, not ourselves. Right? So, you know, but how? How do we do that? You know, our influence is meant to point people to God, right? Not ourselves, but how do we do that? So the first point I would like to say is, how do we influence others to God? Okay, before that, let's go to Matthew 5, verse 13, 16, and I'll share the first point, okay? So, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's uphold the message to your hands, to God's hands first. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time that we are talking about work redeemed, how to be influencer for you, Lord. Not an influencer for ourselves, but influencer for the kingdom of God. Lord, we pray, Lord Father God, today the message will be encapsulated in each and everyone's hearts here, that we will learn to understand that we are not branding. We are not branding ourselves, but we want to build a brand for Jesus. Lord, we give thanks. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alright, so the first point I would like to say, how do we influence God, is based on this scripture, Matthew 5, 13, 16. Okay, so this 13, 16 is just the subsequent scripture to the Sermon on the Mount. Arguably, definitely the most radical teaching of Jesus Christ. The most important teaching as well. Some of the most important teaching that Jesus actually laid out to the disciples, you know, on how to live life, you know, how to have a life that is morally, you know, according to God's moral code. You know, so that's what. So after that, he talked about you are the salt of the earth. Okay, but why salt? Okay, because salt and light are for service, not show. Okay, this is the first point. Salt and light are for service, not show. Okay, salt is sodium chloride, NaCl. Okay, wow, Deborah's like, yeah, chemistry, SPM. Okay, so, you know, NaCl, they're all going through their exams today. Okay, so this next few weeks. So, NaCl, remember, salt, NaCl. Okay, salt, right? Salt is a chemical compound. It's a combination of sodium and chlorine. Okay, it's a chemical compound. Salt in itself, innately, in its nature, right, is salty. Correct? It's salty. On its own, it's salty. It does not have any degree of saltiness one in terms of salt. It's salt. It's salty. It cannot be less salty. It cannot be more salty than what? If it's less salty, means it's not salt already. Correct? Have you ever taken a pinch of salt and then just taste it and you say, oh, it's really very salty. You know, salt water. Right. So, salt in itself, that's the very nature that is salt. It cannot be less or more salty. If your char kway teow is bland, means there is the absence of salt. Right. Correct or not? Means there is no salt in your char kway teow. Alright. So, you know, but during in the biblical times, right, salt was very valuable, extremely valuable in terms of its as a food preservation. Okay, it's seasoning for all of us. Salt is very cheap now. You know, we buy it for food. Ajinomoto is also a form of salt. No, is it Ajinomoto? Okay, right. So it's another. Of course, it's a different compound, but yeah, it's made from salt as well, and it has medicinal uses as well. You know, it was also used as a unit of currency. Okay? Roman soldiers were sometimes paid in salt. A practice that gave rise to the English word salary. Wow. So your salary is actually salt. Right, imagine today we go to work and then we get paid. Your boss, now this is your wage for this month. 5 packs of salt. I say, huh? I'll get a shock. I said, what am I going to do with all this salt? Right. So, right. But the thing is, during those times, biblical times, salt were hard to come by. Of course, now we have modern processes to make salt. Right. But those days, salt is a commodity, you know. It's something that is used to pay for things. And importantly, it's also a key component in ceremonial offerings. Okay. Salt was required component in many religious offerings and sacrifices in the Old Testament. Okay, they were used very importantly. Okay, so salt is basically, why am I talking about salt? But salt is something that is valuable. Nowadays, right, the young people will say salt not very good, because if you are bitter, you are angry, people call you salty. Hey, you don't so salty lah. You know? Right. So because the young people, they turn it around, oh, yeah, salty. You know why salty? Okay, salty. But I would like to be salty. Not in that way, but in God's way. Okay, so, you know, in the same way, right, salt in the ancient world was valuable, long-lasting, just like godly character. Okay, salt in the ancient world was valuable, long-lasting, just like godly character. Okay, so for us to have salt in our lives, for us to be called, you are the salt of the earth, is to have godly character, is to have integrity, is to have honor, justice, godly values, not just performance, right? So same as light, okay? In the same way as light, right? So like we say, when something, the food is bland, there's no taste to it, means it is absence of salt. But when the place is dark, pitch black, means it's the absence of light. Darkness in itself is not a thing. But darkness is the absence of light. Right? Correct? So, darkness itself is not a thing. If there's no light, then there's darkness. If there is light, then it's bright, you know? So, it's actually the absence of light. So, in a room that's pitch black, suddenly you match a light. Have you been to a cave before? Anyone been to a cave before? Go cave, what is that word they call it? I forgot already. But anyhow, cave exploration. Okay, there is one in Gua Tempurong. Anyone went to Gua Tempurong? Cave Tempurong, Tempurong Cave in Ipoh. Okay? If you have never been there, I highly discourage you. No, I'm just kidding. If you are someone that can, that is not claustrophobic, that is not afraid of confined spaces, and you like some adventure, do go and try going into Gua Tempurong or Tempurong Cave. Okay, it's somewhere near Ipoh, just short drive, 2 hours away. And I've been, during my high school days, I've been there like 3 times, going through the whole expedition, in and out, the whole journey into the whole cave. It's like 3 hours long. And we have to squeeze through very tight spaces. There's water coming in and all that. Very adventurous. Okay? At one point, dangerous, lah, because when the water raining, right, there'll be the whole cavern will be filled with water. So inside the cave, right, at one point, right, they told us, you guys have to switch off all the lights. Switch off all your torchlights. Turn everything off. You know? Then everyone tried. Oh, wow, that was the scariest 1 minute of my life. Literally, we couldn't see anything. Like, I can be standing right here, just one inch away from my friend, and his face is right here. I cannot see him at all. Maybe I can feel his breathing, you know. But I cannot see him at all. No, I cannot. Then we were messing around. You know, all guys. My friend was my high school expedition was guys. All guys. So then we start to touch each other. Then we scare each other. You know, who touched me? Who touched me? So it's very scary. You know. So in that way, right? There are a lot of people who are living in spiritual darkness. Not just physical darkness. Spiritual, emotional darkness as well. And that is how they felt, helpless. They couldn't see what is in front of them. They couldn't see what is next to them at all. You know, they couldn't see what's forward. And that's where, you know, a lot of things happen. Mental health issues, depression. So that is how I would figure some people live in that way. You know, I've never had that experience before, but you know, physically, when you were in that kind of darkness, right, that's how helpless I felt. You cannot see anything, you know. So, you know, right, so in this way, you know, when we live with integrity, justice, honor, biblical values, our influence impacts people quietly but powerfully. Meaning to say, we are the salt, we are the light. When we are the light, we can shine around those who are in darkness. We can show people, oh wow, this is how we live. This is the joy that we have in the Lord. This is the peace that we have. People will start to look at you and say, wow, I want your joy, I want your peace. How come I feel so helpless all the time, but you feel so hopeful all the time? Right. I have people come up to me and say that before. And then I told them, I'll tell them, come and join me on Saturdays and Sundays, you know. So, really, so in that way, right, true influence, right, is not how, is seen in how we live, not how loudly we broadcast, not how many views we have, how many likes we have. Influence grows through faithfulness, not fame. Okay, that is my second point. Yeah, so before that, right, I would like to say, to end my first point, right, is to say that influence, right, is actually for you, for us, how do we say I want to be influential? I want to be a salt and light where you are, where I am. In my school, you know, in my workplace, in my family, in my community. You know, do the right things. Ask, what would Jesus do in my situation? Honor God in everything that you do, and people will start to see things differently about you. You know, people may not clap for you, but they will taste and they'll see the difference. They will start to see, wow, something is different with you compared to all my other friends. Okay? So, as we go there, the application for us is to be salt and light where we are in school. To do the right things, to say the right words. Always ask, Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me to speak into the life of my friend. Right. Then, of course, now we lead back to the second point, which is influence grows through faithfulness, not fame. We're going to look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Okay? So, you know, God's plan, right, is to fill the earth with His glory. Not our bodies with His glory, not us with His glory, but it's to fill the whole entire earth. You know, the waters cover the sea, okay? So influence in the kingdom doesn't come from going viral. It comes from faithfulness in the small things. Okay, it comes from faithfulness in doing the small things. You know, so like, of course, like the scripture says, you know, be faithful in the little things. That's how it we should be doing, in the small things. Okay, God uses quiet, consistent obedience to shape lives and generations. Okay, so it grows as we, okay, influence in God's kingdom doesn't explode overnight. Some of us want to be, wow, ambitious and say, oh, I want to be viral, I want to make my church promotion viral and all that, right? Yes, but is that how we do things? Some people just scroll through, oh, it's just church, you know, then they go past, next, scroll to the next video already, scroll to the next video. But when you talk about focusing in discipling another person, spending time with him, going through all his life and talking to him, counseling him, which of you would rather have that difference? Would you like to just make the difference in just doing one video and people just scroll through and say, oh, okay, scroll? Of course, it helps. Some people will say, oh, there's a church here, I want to come. Yes, brilliant. It's a place to come. But also, the important is that if that person comes, is there someone to say, let me disciple you, let me grow. You want to grow with us, journey with us? Let's start the discipleship journey. You know, so it grows as we represent Jesus in everyday life, being faithful in small things, being faithful in the life of the next person next to you. Right? So, okay, this guy, I don't know if you guys know him. I don't think you guys know. He's in 19th century. His name is Edward Kimball. Okay, Kimball, K-I-M-B-A-L-L. No, he's not the founder of the Kimball ketchup sauce. No. Okay, so Edward Kimball, right, is a humble school Sunday school teacher in the 1800s. Okay, in the 1800s, right, he led a guy named Dwight Moody. If you know who's Dwight Moody. One of the greatest evangelists around in that time. Okay, he became an evangelist whose ministry influenced a chain of people. So, D.L. Moody, let's just call him D.L. Moody. Okay, so, Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who personally led his student, D.L. Moody, to Christ in 1855. Then D.L. Moody became a powerful evangelist whose ministry influenced others, including F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer was a British preacher, also significantly influenced by Moody's preaching, and he converted this guy called J.W. Chapman, J. Wilbur Chapman, through one of Moody's meeting, and later became involved with YMCA, this guy Chapman. And this Chapman spoke to a guy called Billy Sunday, a baseball player, who became an evangelist as well. And then from there, Billy Sunday did a crusade, right? He did a conference, that kind. And Mordecai Ham was converted. And then from Mordecai Ham was converted, then eventually led to Billy Graham. So many people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 generations of Christians. Okay? Billy Graham. So Edward Kimball, D.L. Moody, F.B. Meyer, Wilbur Chapman, Billy Sunday, Mordecai Ham, and then Billy Graham, who lived until he was 99, passed away in 2018. So all of us know who Billy Graham is, one of the greatest evangelists in the 20th century. Okay? Which led, you know. Right, so with this, you know, Edward was never famous. Nobody know about Edward Kimball. Edward was never famous, but his faithfulness impacted millions indirectly. By him leading one person, D.L. Moody. Good thing he's not very moody. Yeah, he was a happy, you know, person, you know, evangelist. Okay, so, you know, so he was never famous. He led one guy to Christ. And this guy led one guy to Christ, and this other guy led another guy to Christ, lead one by one, and eventually we have Billy Graham, which spoke to 200 evangelize to 200 over million people. Okay, so the application here today is that God is not looking for celebrities. You know, one quiet man, his faithfulness started a chain reaction that changed history without even standing on the stage himself. So, right, God is saying that God is not looking for celebrities. He's looking for faithful servants. You know, who are you serving the Lord today? Are you serving Him wherever you are, as an usher, as a tech, as a worship team member, as a kids Sunday school kids teacher? Look at how a Sunday school kids teacher, Edward Kimball, led someone to Christ and eventually led to Billy Graham. No, so let's give the Sunday school teachers a big hand over at the other side. You know, really, you know, they are the ones that are going to build the next generation. So pray for them. You know, if you see them, say thank you for all the things that you've done for our kids. And yeah, and all that. So, you know, you don't need a stage to make an impact, but faithfulness builds lasting influence. And the last one I'd like to say is that Christ gave His life, not built His brand. This is the last point. Okay, so Christ gave His life, not build His brand. Okay? In John 6. Oh, did I go to John 6? Let me see. Oh, Philippians 2. Sorry. Philippians 2. Okay, so Philippians 2, right? In verse 5, it says, in your relationship with other, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place, gave Him the name above every other name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, through here, right, it says that Jesus did not seek status or popularity. Even the Satan tempted Him on the mountain and say, you bow down to me, I give you all this. Jesus said, no, that's not why I'm here. You know, I'm not going to be king that conquers others, or king that, you know, that is a militaristic or for his own power, for his own prosperity. But He humbled Himself and pointed to the Father through all of this. You know, our influence, right, should lift up His name, not ours. Okay, our influence should lift up His name, not our own name. You know, if today you be called, you know, are you a Christian or are you an influencer, Instagram influencer? Some people say, I'm a Christian influencer. Online, social media, Christian influencer. Right. Well, it's each to their own. But are they actually influencing others to God? If they are, praise the Lord. But if it's for their own gain, benefit, then something is wrong. Okay, so I like to tell you a difference between a mirror and a spotlight. I think this illustration, a lot of us know what it is. Okay, a mirror doesn't produce light. A mirror reflects light. Correct? Huh? So, Jesus lived like a mirror. Okay, He's reflecting God's glory through humility and sacrifice. He washed His servants' feet. He washed his disciples' feet, you know, as a servant. Okay? Jesus lived like a mirror. You know, the world wants us to be like spotlights, to have the light shining on us. Wow, very nice, man. Wow, that spotlight's on me. Wow, I can show what I can do and all that. So same, you know, in work, people want to be the spotlight to be on them so that they can climb higher and higher and higher in the corporate ladder, or to get business here and there and all, whatever, you know? But when the world wants us to be spotlights, but we're called to be mirrors, So in terms of your corporate world, you know, do we mirror God in a corporate world? You know, I heard some people say that, oh, Sundays go to church, but Monday to Friday, people are saying, ah, you go to church, ah? You don't look like you go to church. Oh, wow, then that is a very painful thing to hear. You say, ah, means I don't sound like a Christian, right? So, ask yourself, you know, when people look into your life, do they see me or do they see Jesus? So when people look at our lives, they should say, God is good, not you are great. Okay? When people look into your lives, they should always say, God is good, not you are great. Because that's where the attention is wrongly taken already. Okay? So your influence, right, is to point up, not inwards. Your influence is to point people to go to look at God. So the next time, right, you excel in your work, you excel in your school, your studies, right, people will come to you, wow, what's your secret? How come you can be so excellent in all these things? Then what's your answer? I say, I naturally smart. I born smart one, I born smart. You know, I came out from my mother's womb, I know all the ABC, 2 times 2 is 4, you know. But that's not true. But it's actually God. If you are excellent in whatever that you do, it's because you do it for God. You say, God, I want to be excellent for you. I want to do my best for you, for your glory. And when people ask, what's your secret? You say, I go to church on Sundays. Come with me, I show you what excellence is. Right. Right. So, you know, so ask yourself, right, when people look into your life, do they want to say, wow, you're great, or do they want to say, God is good? Alright. So your influence, right? So at the end, let me close with these 3 points, right? In this sense, salt and light influence through service. Meaning to say, when you are salt and light, people can see the difference. You are valuable, just like godly character is valuable. Then if you have faithfulness, influence grows quietly, not through fame. Even the small things, the next person that you think that, you know, is, well, he needs a lot of help to counsel and to talk to. Yes, God is asking you to do it. You know, influence others quietly, not through fame, not through bombastic language, not through whatever, but it's to influence the next person next to you and say, let's grow in Jesus. And the last one is to be Christ's example. Not through self-promotion. At one point, even Jesus said, don't tell others about me. Don't tell others, I don't want to be viral yet. Because that's not the time for him to be viral yet. Because otherwise, things will it's not according to plan. But influence flows through reflection and sacrifice. Okay? So, right, in conclusion, you know, when people look into your life, the question is, what do they want to see? Do they want to see God? Or do they want to see you? Right. So as we close, right, I want to give you one last picture. Okay? Wow, fish. I like fish. I like everything about fishing. I like to eat fish. I like salmon, sashimi, you know, I have a fish tank at home, you know, so, you know, but I want to bring you guys to this picture. This is a salmon, Atlantic salmon, okay, Atlantic salmon, right, a salmon, right, it's one of the few fishes that can thrive in both fresh water and salt water, okay, the salmon eggs are spawned in fresh water up, you know, Canada, you know, where the Abigail is from, you know, so they spawn in fresh water, the eggs are hatched, they grow up in the fresh water, then they go down their way back into the sea, into the ocean, and they spend majority of their lives in the ocean. And then when it's time for them to spawn again, to lay the eggs again, they travel up into fresh water again. Most of the time they travel all the way up, and they at the end of their life cycle already, it's time for them to say, that's my final mission. Then they travel all the way up to the creek, to where they originally were born, they spawn the exact same river, and they will spawn and they die, because their bodies will be so exhausted from going up, and they die. So right, the salmon is alive and is strong in both saltwater and freshwater. They can go from saltwater all the way up freshwater, up against the stream, the rapids, literally up river battle, you know. So it swims upstream and against the current. It thrives in both saltwater and freshwater. But if you take a dead salmon, a dead fish, right, you put it in saltwater, what happens? It becomes salted fish. It becomes kiam hu, you know, kiam hu. It becomes salted fish. It becomes a salted fish, it's preserved, maybe, but it's lifeless. Okay, a dead salmon, right, you put it into a salt water, it does not come back to life. You know, it's lifeless. It cannot go up the fresh water anymore. You know, in the same way, okay, salted fish, I got one salted fish here, yeah. Okay, in the same way, a spiritually alive believer, someone that connected to Christ, someone that is, you know, a disciple of Christ, someone who attends church, who goes, you know, who studies the Bible, studies the Word, does all the good things that God asked him to do, can thrive in any environment, can thrive in fresh water, salt water. Whether you're in a Christian community or in a challenging workplace, you know, bosses are crazy. Bosses are demanding, KPI, 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 OKRs, you know, going against you. But you can still bring influence because the life of God is in you. Just like the fish. If it's alive, it can go in salt water, thrive. Fresh water, thrive. But if it's dead, it becomes kiam hu. Salted fish. So if we are spiritually dead inside, it doesn't matter how salty the environment is or how fresh the water is, we cannot influence anyone. We are this dead fish. Yeah, like we can make the claypot chicken rice nicer a bit. But, you know, it does not influence anyone. We just end up like the salted fish, preserved but powerless. We cannot go up the stream anymore and finish our mission, their life's mission. So God has called us not to simply survive in this world, but to bring life into every space we step into. It's to bring His life into every space we step. So the question today is that, whose glory are you living for? Yours or God's? So, you know, today as I end, you know, I'd like to invite all of you, right, to surrender where all your platforms are. Whether it is social media platform, whether it is your work, your family, your friends. Surrender it to Jesus and say, God, I want to rededicate my work, my school, my social media activity, everything, Lord, I want to rededicate it to influence others to you. Not to make myself big, but to make you big. So I like the song that Jesslyn sang today, you know, the second song. You know, the last stanza, it says, would I gladly be made nothing that Christ would be made more? Would I seek the only kingdom that far outweighs them all? It's a beautiful song, you know, right on point as well with the sermon. But as we talk about that, you know, when we sing it, do we really mean that, God, your kingdom above all, God, your kingdom above my followers, my likes. God, your kingdom above my work, so that God can bring his life into your platform, can bring his life into all the things that you do, your family, your school, your work, your ministry. So be like the salmon fish, you know. Fight. You thrive in salt water, you thrive in fresh water. Doesn't matter church, doesn't matter work. So today, as we take away, right, key takeaways, influence is not being about being noticed. Influence is about faithfully reflecting Christ where you are. Let your life be like the mirror, not a spotlight. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this message that Lord, you have entrusted me to also to speak. Lord, we pray, Lord Father God, even as we capture this message into our hearts, let us be like a mirror. Let us not be like a spotlight that want to shine the light on ourselves, but we want to mirror your goodness. We want to mirror your name. We want to mirror your glory out to others. Lord, we pray, Lord Father God, let us have your life in us. Your life be in us, that we are able to spread the glory of God in wherever we are, whatever platform that we're in. That Lord, you are going to take control. That Lord, you are going to help us to bring life into others, to influence people for you, not to influence others for bad things or for evil desires, but to influence others to you, for you. And in this, Lord Father God, grant us a time, grant us a vision, even grant us a desire to influence others to you, to influence people to know your name, to know your goodness, to know the good news. And all this, Lord, help us to honor you, help us to make disciples. And Lord, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Everyone say, Amen.